Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is insecurities. So Bree's going to be talking a lot this episode.
Sean brought up this topic idea that I believe you said was sent in by a listener.
No, it was me.
Oh, it was you.
Yeah.
That we're doing one next week that was sent in by a listener. So stay tuned.
Yeah. No, we're not.
No, we're not.
That's the week after that.
Oh, yeah. This is off to a good start, as usual.
Sorry, I just am trying to keep Bree on schedule because she doesn't know anything about anything.
I will tell you one thing that I know. I appreciate when people give us 5-star reviews.
That's the only thing I know.
Yes, one of the, like, seriously, maybe one of the 3 things I know. The other thing that I know is that when you follow us on Instagram, we really love it at I Can Explain Podcast.
And the third thing is that your pussy is getting fucked by daddy.
And that's about it. So, yeah.
That wraps this episode up.
But yeah, wherever you're listening, make sure you're followed or subscribed. Share us with your friends. Leave us a review. It does mean a lot and help us out. And yeah, do check us out on Instagram because we've got some exciting things coming up. We just actually did a poll the other day asking people if they would be interested in merch. And over 100 of you said yes, which is awesome. We've been wanting to make merch for a while. So announcements about that are going to be coming up on our Instagram page at I Can Explain Podcast. And we also have some other little surprises in store, so stay tuned.
Nice. Thanks for that. So, insecurities.
Yeah.
I thought of this topic.
Okay.
That's it. Not Bree. No, I thought of this topic because we recently, very recently, did a roast within our friend group.
Yes.
We were kind of joking. We do trivia every week on Zoom, socially distant, folks. There's still a pandemic going on.
Yep.
Keep your ass inside or wear a mask. But we have been doing trivia every Tuesday for 100 years, it feels like, at this point.
At least 100.
At least 100 to 150 years.
Yep.
And at some point, I joked that I wanted to do a roast. I had meant that I wanted to do a roast when we could eventually see each other in person.
Yes.
But people ran with it and thought that I meant that second.
Yeah.
So a few weeks later, we did our roast. And one of our friends, who, if they are listening, we are talking about you, did a roast that was a little bit more physical focused that I think a lot of people were expecting.
Yes. So here's the thing. There was a lot of buildup to this roast night because obviously people have, first of all, different senses of humor. And second of all, different levels of tolerance to being made fun of, for lack of better words.
Yeah.
So Sean and I, as you probably know from listening to this podcast, where we basically roast each other every week, are the type of people that's kind of our way of showing love. Like when we're friends with somebody, we like to kind of like, you know, razz them a bit. And Sean and I make fun of each other all the time. And we know that that's like kind of our love language. It's definitely our sense of humor.
Yeah.
And we can take it, I think, a lot more than other people can. And that's not to say that other people are in the wrong for not having that type of sense of humor.
Oh, God, no, we are monsters in some people's eyes. Very rightly so.
Absolutely. But I think that is important, right? Like being able to adjust depending on your surroundings and who you're around. And that was one of the things that we asked after deciding to do a roast to the, you know, approximate 10 people that join every week. Okay, what is your tolerance level? Like, with a roast, do you want me to run you over with a truck and just expose every insecurity you may have that we were all thinking about?
I checked that box.
Yes. Or do you want us to do, like, what I like to call the wedding roast, which I think is the way to write a wedding speech, that basically you're making fun of people for things that are actually positive. It's like the classic, like, like, for example, at my sister's wedding, I was the MC, so I talked a lot, as I do. It's really the perfect job for me. And one of the jokes was about how she posts so many bikini photos on Instagram. So yes, I'm razzing her for posting bikini butt photos on Instagram, but those bikini butt photos are gorgeous, and like, she gets a ton of likes, and she knows that she's attractive, and she's very physically fit. So it's one of those things that's a roast, but I'm actually bringing up something that's like, you're obviously hot, and people...
It's a compliment framed as an insult.
Exactly, which I would call a wedding roast. I think that's absolutely the best way to do it. You think of all the things that are actually awesome about them, and then like make it a joke.
Yeah.
And some people, that's all they want, and that's all they can take, and I totally get that. So we asked everyone, like, what level are you on? And, you know, Sean and I were like, absolutely murder us, like, destroy us.
Yeah.
And we will absolutely take it and not care when it comes to friendships.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And we are the same on the podcast. Obviously, the listeners will know that is our sense of humor. We just make fun of literally everybody, mostly each other and Bree's age, but but mostly like anybody. Yeah. And I am a firm believer that your sense of humor, unless it's fucking like racist or homophobic or something like that, your sense of humor doesn't really necessarily show your heart.
Yes.
And I say that once again, not there's jokes that are that shows your fucking heart, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But I know that I am a good friend and Bree is a good friend.
Yes.
And you know, like, that's just what I do. That's what I like.
It.
And when I say I can take it, like, I'm not using that as a cover. I genuinely find it hilarious when people rag on me.
Same, absolutely.
So getting back to this, there were some things said in this roast that cross the line for some people, but a lot of them were little things that I don't think a lot of people had ever thought about.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder moving forward if these will create insecurities.
Right.
Because it brought me back to a few of the insecurities that I have. Mm-hmm. And really the only reason that they're insecurities of mine are because people presented them in a way to me from a young age that I should be insecure about.
Yes, absolutely.
So I was just like, it's weird because I feel like some of these things that were said, these people I'd never heard of in their life. And I'm like, I wonder if they're leaving this and that's all they can think about.
Absolutely. Because a roast is a weird thing, right? Because there's certain things that people are going to say that you're like, that was the obvious thing to go for. That's something that maybe I make fun of myself about already.
Yeah.
That's something that like, obviously, I'm aware that people may think about me or see when they look at me or whatever it may be. But then there's the things that it's very exposing a roast, because basically what someone's doing, especially if they are running you over with a truck with their words, they are telling you what, in some ways, their first most standout impression of you was in a negative sense.
Yeah, especially if it's a physical feature.
Yeah, like what stood out to them, and then saying, they're telling you, like, I noticed this right away.
Yeah.
Which, to a lot of people, would obviously create a new insecurity, because you're like, oh my God, when people look at me, is that what they think about me?
Yeah.
Or when people talk to me, is that what they think about my personality? And there's certain things that cut like a little too deep.
Yeah. Like, I would say a good example of this, it wasn't a physical feature or really an insecurity. It's an insecurity in a different way.
Yeah.
A lot of people a big part of a roast, I think, is also seeing what that individual jokes about themselves.
Yes.
How they, or what specific things they laugh about or create jokes out of trauma of.
Yeah.
A good example of this for myself is that I was in two, like, very traumatic car accidents.
Right.
And I joke about it all the time because how I deal with things is humor.
Yes.
But, like, they were, like, probably two of the most traumatic things that have ever happened to me. And if I didn't joke about that, most people would be like, maybe we shouldn't joke about that.
Correct.
But because I make so many jokes about it, because that's how I deal with things, when other people do it, I'm like, it's fair game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, yeah, that's, I think, where insecurities come from.
Yeah,
genuinely.
I agree.
Because I would say, hand to fake God, my biggest insecurity growing up, always and forever, two of them, actually.
Uh-huh.
One was the size of my head,
okay,
which it is big. I will. That's
I don't think
the
it's
tea.
That big.
It's pretty big, though.
Okay.
But, okay, I'll get into it.
Yeah.
One second. First is the shape and size of my head generally. Okay. And the second is the shape and size of specifically my forehead.
Okay, yeah.
Because growing up, now I honestly don't care. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's funny. I'm like, you know, just like so cute anyway. but growing up, we've talked about it before, as I like to say every episode recently. Yeah. Fuck.
We should make that on yeah.
We've talked about our trauma before, as we do. growing up, that was one of the, like, besides the fucking obvious one of being gay,
yeah.
this was what took the brunt of the jokes.
Yeah.
Because that was definitely number one. But yeah, people would always make fun of, like, my head, my forehead. Like, when we went to the aquarium, people said that I look like a beluga because they have melons on their head and they can, like, wiggle their melons and they're, like, gelatinous. And
right,
somebody
yeah.
was like, can you wiggle yours?
I'm sorry.
I was like, you're going to wiggle this fist up your ass, bitch. and yeah, and from years, it just kind of like stemmed from that. And that was really like when I looked at myself in the mirror, that was the only thing I could see.
Yes.
And when I look back at me in high school and elementary school, I had long helmet hair because I was so yeah. uncomfortable mm-hmm. with seeing my own forehead.
Yeah.
And I was like, if that's what these people think about me,
yeah,
every single person that meets me,
yeah,
unless I have
sees.
This bang cover, mm-hmm. which like, then another insecurity should have been my fucking hair.
Oh, yeah. Like, absolutely.
Because the hair was way worse than the forehead ever was.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's just weird to think about and sad to think about that. Something that I probably never uh-huh. would have pointed out in myself
right.
became such a fixture for me.
Yes.
You know?
And it's weird how it takes one sentence. Like, what? Sometimes it's things that you get bullied for, like, ongoingly. But there's those weird insecurities that I think everyone probably listening can relate to. That you can think back, and there was one time that one person mentioned it.
Yeah.
And it sticks with you, and now you, and then you, once you hear it, it's, you can't unsee it.
You can't unsee it. Yeah.
And my one with that is a really weird one. Because okay. I have a lot of, obviously, insecurities. But, and there's a lot of things I was bullied for as a kid. Like, I've talked about, like, being bullied for my eyebrows.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you're like so hairy, or a gorilla because your eyebrows are so hairy. And then now I get complimented on that the most. And it was like a weird transition for me because I always like dyed them lighter and like really overplucked them because I like
that you did.
I didn't. Oh God, I did a TikTok montage of my old eyebrows. It was frightening.
Yeah.
But because all I wanted was for my eyebrows to not be noticeable.
Yep.
And then now that's what I get complimented on the most. And like, it's honestly something, like, I hate to use the word, like, signature of my brand, but it is, like, people always talk about my eyebrows.
Yeah.
So it's funny how certain things like that can transition, but that was more of an ongoing, like, life thing. But one that stands out as like a one sentence, really particular thing is, you know, in your mouth, how you have two canine teeth,
mm-hmm.
right? One of the, I don't even remember this happening, but it must have happened because afterwards, after this incident, I asked my dentist about it.
Right.
One of my canine teeth is chipped, so it's flat.
Okay.
And the other one isn't.
Right.
And that should not seem like a big deal to
yeah,
anybody,
yeah.
right? I would argue that a lot of people probably never noticed
I've
that.
I've never noticed,
right?
And I stare at your mouth. I've stared at your mouth just specifically 99 times 45. That's it. And that's not even including like regular hangouts.
So that's the thing. And neither did I. I had never noticed this. I don't remember chipping my tooth when I was a kid. I don't remember like anything like that.
Yeah.
And I know exactly where I was standing. It was on my elementary school. After school, I was standing with my friend and she was waiting for her younger brother to come out because we all walked home together after school.
Yeah.
And we're standing there on the like little like tennis court or whatever, waiting for him to come out. And
weren't we all?
I should check in. Is he out? I'm not sure. And her younger brother came down and just out of nowhere, like classic like kid moment where
yeah.
they say something and it's just like no filter. The kid looks at me, he's probably in like grade two or something. We were like grade six or seven, and goes, "What's with your tooth?" And the girl like kind of like smacks him and
yeah.
is like, "That's mean. Like, what are you saying?" And he's like, "One of her teeth is cut in half, like a little kid.
Right.
Right? Like, just kids are savage.
Savage.
Right? And that's where a lot of our insecurities stand from, because, like,
being
kids have
children.
Literally. Yeah. Because kids say things when they're kids that now, hopefully, I mean, there's certain people that never learn this, but you get to a certain point as an adult that even if you look at someone's face and you see something, you don't point it out.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, what? And I remember going home and looking at my teeth in the mirror and being like, what the fuck? Like, what happened to them?
Yeah.
I was like, on the internet, like, looking, like, ways to fix it, veneers.
Can,
like,
I file tooth with,
like, literally, I was like thinking, like, can I even them out? Like, it stuck with me for years.
Yeah.
And that is something that's so small and stupid, but, like, literally for years, every time I smiled, it had to get to the point where I was like, I just have to get over it because everyone's going to notice it.
Yeah.
But I just have to keep, like, smiling anyways, which now is so ridiculous because if you talk to most people, they would never notice it, like you said.
Oh, my God.
But
yeah.
For me, it was such an insecurity at a young age. Like, I thought that, oh my God, every person that meets me thinks, like, what's with her fucking tooth? Like,
yeah.
When did she break her tooth? Or, like, whatever. Which isn't even a big deal.
No.
Even if it was noticeable, who cares?
Yeah.
But it's just funny how those, like, that one sentence, that, like, 30 seconds of my life, I can picture it. I can picture the way the weather was. I can picture exactly where we're standing. And it's literally cemented in my brain.
Yeah. It's a story that, once again, I've told before. When I wore that fucking, this is everybody constantly tells me that this is the most haunting story I have.
Oh, yeah. It's such a sad
when I was
too.
Wearing the blue Adidas jacket that I got from a trip with my family in the States, and I came to school and I thought I was the flyest bitch on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I wore it, I remember the weather. I remember where I was standing. I just had a weird crack in my voice. I'm not, like, crying, don't worry. I remember the weather. And, I remember exactly where I was standing, and I remember exactly what bitch said it to me.
Yes.
She was like, nice jacket. And it was just that.
Yeah.
Never wore it again. Told my mom that I didn't like it, even though it was my favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
So it's just weird things.
It's so weird. And when you're a kid, you're so impressionable because we've... you know, we've talked about how, like, so much, like, of the struggle, I think, with coming out is you have to overcome, like, anyone, whether you're heterosexual, gay, queer, whatever you may be. Everyone, when you're a kid, to a certain extent, hates being different.
Yeah.
Like, your natural instinct for most people, there are the people that are not, but, like, for most people, I would argue, is to just kind of, like, do what everyone else is doing, blend in with the crowd, try and, like, not stand out in ways that people can make fun of you and, like, you know, wear what everyone else is wearing, etc. Because you see how the people that are different get bullied. So you're like, I don't want to be that person. So it's just all about, like, blending in. And then when you are gay, that's that extra level of, like, well, I could be doing everything the same. I could be wearing the exact same clothes and making sure I listen to the same music.
Filing
and everything.
Filing both my teeth, even.
I could pull both of my teeth out, and I'm still, like, now I'm the gay person.
Yeah.
And that's something that I found interesting, actually, about our roast, was because I would argue that most people, like, if I did, like, an online roast with, like, creators, or, like, if I was with, like, straight friends and we did a roast, or, like, my wedding, per se, when I have people speak, like, I've talked about, a lot of my best friends are heterosexual. If they speak, like, they're probably going to make some sort of
gay
joke.
By the way.
Right. What?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I thought this was an interesting dynamic because it's, like, straight man and queer woman.
Jeez,
no?
Big shock, hey?
Jesus. But I would say that most of the time, their joke may circulate around the fact that I'm gay.
Yeah.
Or the roast may circulate something to do with the fact that I'm the lesbian in the group, because that's an easy standout. And honestly, everyone knows it's kind of like one of those nice roasts, because they're not actually saying it's bad that I'm gay. So they know it's something
some
that's not
be.
Gonna. Yeah, some might be, but hopefully not my friends. They know that it's like one of those, like, I'm saying something about you that, you know, I don't think is bad, and you're not going to all of a sudden wake up the next day with a new insecurity, like, oh my God, I am
gay.
You know, like, it's not going to rock you to the core,
yeah.
But it's an obvious thing to make fun of. But the interesting dynamic with the roast is it just so happens that the people that we do trivia with every week, two interesting things. One, everyone's queer?
Yep.
Is there anyone who's not queer on that? No? Okay, so everyone's queer. So that's kind of, like, taken off the table.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to come in and be like, oh, Bree the dyke. Like,
It's like looking in a mirror. Yeah,
like, everyone's gay, so that joke isn't funny, because that doesn't make you stand out.
It kind of is funny still.
Yeah, it's, you know. The queer thing is, like, actually, like, a blending in thing in that group.
Yeah.
And then the other interesting dynamic of it is that it's a very odd hodgepodge of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's not like 10 best friends that have known each other forever.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, a couple of us started doing this at the beginning of quarantine. And then, like, I would say, like, a month in, I invited my friend Dana and she joined. And at first it was just like me, Heather, Lauren.
Not Dana, not Heather, not Lauren.
Yeah, Sean, Corey. And then it was like, okay, I invite, hey, Dana, me and my friends do this, like, for, we've been doing this for a month. Do you want to join? And then Heather was like, oh, can I invite my, well, her now ex, whoops, sorry, Heather exposed.
Not Heather.
Can I, yeah, not Heather invited her current girlfriend at the time. And then her current girlfriend brought her friend.
Yeah.
And then.
Really just spiraled.
Yeah. So it, like, kept building. And then Sean's friends came who, like, I had met a few times at parties, but, like, I don't, like, know them. I don't have their phone numbers. Like, we're not, like, close like that. So it's a very interesting dynamic because you have, like, all these people that are, like, very close in different ways, in different connections. But most people don't know everyone really close.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to think of roasts for people you don't know, they almost become, it's a fine line because it's easier for them to become more savage, I think. Because
absolutely.
It's like, I don't know enough about you to find an interesting joke. So either this is going to be a really boring joke, like, oh, Bree's a lesbian. It's like, okay, well, yeah, we all know that because it's really surface level boring. Or you have to literally go with the thing that's like, I've only talked to you, you know, 10 times over 10 weeks on an internet platform doing trivia. So I'm not even learning really a lot about you or your life.
Exactly.
I have to just choose the thing that's obnoxiously the thing that stood out to me as a first impression. And sometimes that is savage.
And adding to that, it was a treacherous choice of ours.
Yeah.
especially because a big part of this podcast is us talking about how weird it is that queer men, queer people that identify as men, queer people that identify as women, lesbians, gays, we have so many similarities.
Yeah.
But our communities are so far apart.
Yes.
You know, there's always this big wedge in between us. And we always joke about how we think that's stupid. Like, I think I get along with lesbians very well.
Yeah.
I, like, you know, like, I don't think people listening to this podcast would listen if we were at war with each other.
Yes.
This whole thing. Anyways.
But it is interesting, like, speaking to that and validating that. I've always found, with the exception of a few close queer male friends.
Yeah.
I've found that any time that I meet gay identifying men, that they automatically connect better and deeper and quicker with my sister, who's a heterosexual woman.
Yeah.
And that's always been a thing, like, growing up, like, both of us dancing, like, they would always, like, totally click with Brooke, and we just could not find the common ground.
Absolutely.
So I do think that there is that validity to that, but also, obviously, like, we're best friends, so, you know.
But I will say, and it became apparent in this roast, and I've had a genuine understanding of this as well, that comedy is a big difference. Comedy and approach is a big difference in the two communities.
Yes, I agree.
Gays are ruthless.
Yes.
And sometimes it's over the edge. Like, I've gotten flack on this podcast because I've jokingly said I hate straight people as a general, you know, message. I don't actually hate straight people. Yeah. It's just, like, that's just my humor. I just say fucking stupid shit. Anyways.
Launching next month, our new podcast. Yeah. We hate straight
people. But in a roast, you really see the difference in approach and comedy between gay men and lesbian
men. Yeah, I totally agree.
Hey, Gabers, today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention and it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in-app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
So. Somewhere that I saw that actually previously happen was a few years ago at the place Sean and I met at Vancouver's Next Drag Superstar, the competition. They had, I don't think they've done it for a couple years, maybe because it was such like a disaster.
Right.
But they had a roast night, which I think is completely appropriate for a drag competition, considering there is, you know, such a history of, you know, reads in the drag community.
Reading is fundamental.
Absolutely. So, like, and it obviously, if you're going to call something Vancouver's Next Drag Superstar and it's kind of modeled off of, like, maybe a RuPaul-esque competition, that is something that happens in RuPaul. Yeah. And, like, that is something that happens in the, like, club scene when it comes to, you know, competitions with, like, voguing and, like, all these different things they read. So it seemed completely appropriate that they would have a roast. So they did, and it was interesting because there were a couple people that did not like the idea that roasts were happening.
Yeah.
And it was weird because to me, and maybe this is me being ignorant, but to me, I was like, how are you in that culture and like so a part of this? And then you don't understand that this isn't actually meant to be mean and hurtful. Like it's supposed to be fun and funny.
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to be showing your kind of wit. But that was like the first time I really noticed that that some people don't get that type of humor, even though they're still in the queer scene.
Absolutely.
Because I think that the understanding a lot of times is, and maybe this might have been the case with a couple people roasting on our Zoom call, is that if you are gay, you get that you can be kind of savage and the reads can be like pretty cutthroat because that's the sense of humor in the community.
Yeah.
But as you said, depending on what area is the wrong word, what subcategory you
areola.
Are in the community, whatever areola you're on, the understanding of reads is very different.
Yeah.
Like even when I'm talking to like you or like some of my other gay guy friends, I know I can cut a little deeper.
Absolutely.
Whereas like, I hate to generalize because this is not the case for everyone. Like I'm speaking for myself. Like I love being read, but I don't know if it's something to do with maybe having like more of like a feminine grounded nature, maybe like a more like, I hate, it's not the word emotional. What am I looking for? Like soft,
yeah.
Femininity that women, from my experience are less likely to like be okay with being like read so severely.
Yeah.
And I think those things are fantastic. They actually add value to your personality.
However, I do think there is, you know, a pessimistic view of this that,
yeah,
I do think a big chunk of this absolutely,
yeah,
comes from the fact that queer women, as we've talked about, don't have, well, fuck, I really love saying that, hey?
Yeah.
queer women don't have brick and mortar spaces.
Yes.
They are constantly shoved out by gay men.
Mm-hmm.
So gay men feel like they are the fucking alphas of this community.
Right.
They can be mean.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, spaces that are more inviting to, mm-hmm, trans people, queer women, non-binary,
yeah,
it's more of a catch-all and it is more of a community feel.
Yes.
So I think that is a big chunk of where that comes from as
totally.
Well.
Totally. And being like more empathetic and understanding because it's kind of like this vibe of like, we're all in this together.
Exactly.
And like, I want to like try and like respect your vibes and your pronouns and your space and all these things, which I think a lot of times in brick and mortar, like, quote unquote, gay bars, whether like kind of taken over by gay cis males.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case.
Exactly. And there will always be people that go too far. Always. Yes, always. And I think a lot of gay men do, especially with people that they're not close with.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to specific insecurities. Talk about some of yours.
Okay. So obviously the tooth one, which honestly has not been an insecurity for ages.
Obviously the tooth one.
Obviously. You're like, now I can't unsee it.
Now it's all I see. Mm. You should contact your doctor. Not even dentist.
I pay for
one
veneer. Just like one little.
To be a little sharper on the other.
But yeah, so that's one that doesn't bother me at all anymore because as I got older, I realized how fucking ridiculous it was. Eyebrows one, obviously I'm over because it's very easy to get over an insecurity, pro tip, when someone starts complimenting you on it.
You know, that'll do it.
That'll do it. So I can't say that I naturally got over that one. I think that at some point the trend of eyebrows became
your savior.
Legit.
Yeah.
Like there was like the Cara Delevingne's of the world that everyone was like, oh my God, big, bushy eyebrows. Like now everyone's getting like fucking tattooed on eyebrows and all these things that like, and everyone constantly asked me like, oh, where'd you get your eyebrows done? How do you do your eyebrows? How do you get them like the way they look? That obviously makes an insecurity much easier. Whereas if that trend hadn't changed, like I probably would have lived with that.
Like if people
were
waxing off their eyebrows, you'd be big fucked.
Which for years they were. Like, oh my God. Like for years, it like the thing was having like the skinniest, lightest little teeny eyebrows, right? So that one was one for a while. Body hair in general was a thing for me because when I was younger, it made me feel unsexy. And I think a lot of women deal with that with like, you know, the standards out there in the world that women are supposed to be hairless. Like, I mean, the fact that it was like, I think 2017 or something crazy before an ad ever showed hair on women for shaving products.
And
that's
one of those things that it wasn't a specific singular sentence that somebody said to you. It was every sentence that every commercial TV, movie, radio ad man that you walked past on the street told you.
So exactly. That's like a deeply embedded one. That's not one that I can be like, that one person. It's like, oh no, like a lot of people in the world genuinely think body hair on women is gross, which is like so crazy. And that's so something that people have to unlearn. But so that one was, and still honestly that one creeps up every once in a while, because if I'm doing something like I recently did a campaign for Absolut Vodka, so I had the shoot, right? And they were like, oh yeah, we're gonna be doing the videography and the photography, and I don't know what it was because I hadn't thought about it in literally years, but right before the shoot I looked down at my arm and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna be taking like a drink out of the can and it's gonna be my arm in the shot, and my arm and my hands are hairy. And, like, that's embarrassing. Like, a lot of people are going to think that's gross.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, like, you're being ridiculous. Because I literally start thinking, like, should I, like, I did in high school. So I was like, I had the saw. I was about to do it. I talked myself off the ledge. No, for years in high school, like, I used to, like, nair my arms and get rid of all the hair and everything else. So it did for a minute bring you back to that place.
Also, is nair literally just no hair? Is that what that is a combination of?
I think so.
Cool.
Yeah. I honestly have never really thought about that. That makes sense, though. Like, it makes complete sense. But it smells like baby shit. Like, it smells like diapers.
Like, when you... Okay, nair is a beast, hey?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, I naired my butthole once.
Okay. Ew, I'm just picturing the nair, like, stuck between the cheeks.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And it, like, my hole was ruined. Like, it was like I had just like really poured acid on it. Anyways, out of the bottle smells like
fun and fresh,
fruity lotion.
Yes.
And then like 5 minutes in, it's like the cooking of like an insect or something.
It's disgusting.
It's like a chemical
like
fire.
Baby shit fire. Like you lit baby shit on fire.
Like it's so weird.
It's so bad. But yeah, with body hair, it was a really weird one. Like to the point that not even looks wise, like I remember thinking it would be genuinely embarrassing.
Yeah.
If I was like, we had a high school dance and I remember thinking like, oh my God, what if a guy like touches my leg or like walks by my leg and like brushes my leg and
says, hey, dude. Oh, sorry, man.
No, I literally thought, and there's like any sort of stubble.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, that will be mortifying. Like, I literally thought about that. And I remember like literally shaving and then nairing to like do the double. I've like,
got
to
get those follicles.
All like deep in the follicles. Yeah. Like, burn that acid down. Those pores.
Bring me the baby shit.
And yeah, so I just remember thinking that would be like absolutely horrifying if I did. Another specific physical one for me. Besides, like, I mean, I'm trying to focus more on the, like, kind of niche ones.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think there's the obvious for me, at least, and a lot of human beings out there, like, you know, feeling
body
like
image,
I look,
all
yeah,
those
feel
things.
Like I look overweight, like my stomach, like all these things. I'm thinking like specifics for me in general.
Especially things that came from other people.
Other like things that ignited it.
Someone else's gaze.
Yes.
Some other gaze.
Okay. So this, oh.
Whoa. That's like a real eyes thing.
Should we get that tattoo?
Probably.
That's a sticker on the merch for sure. Oh my God. Okay. So the other thing that stands out to me as something that happened in high school is I remember one of the first people I dated, I went to hold their hand, mm-hmm. or they went to hold my hand, whatever, whichever way it was. And they were like, ew, your hand's so clammy.
Oh my God. This is so funny.
Right?
I'll build on this after.
Okay. So I was like, oh, I've never thought about that before. Because it's weird when those moments happen, right? Because like that was something like the tooth that I genuinely had never thought
and that
I
was
could be different
you
about.
Held hands with somebody and the first thing they thought was this bitch's hand is clammy.
Yeah. Like I'm like, it must be terrible.
Yeah.
Like it must be so bad.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was like one of those weird, like really young relationship, oh, we're dating, but we never actually hung out things. Like we just told people at school that we were dating. And I think it was in like grade 8 and I might have to put this picture up on Instagram because it's funny. I went to a house party like 2 weeks later and I knew that he was going. And I had like literally not stopped thinking about the fact that my hands were clammy. And anyone who has clammy hands knows.
If you think about your clammy hands, they're getting wetter.
They get clammy.
Yeah.
And I was going to this house party and I was like, oh my God. Cause like at this point, like the big steps for me with this, having this boyfriend was that I was going to hold hands and maybe kiss him. Like anything farther than that was off the table. So I was really focused on the hand holding because I was like, I'm going to be a bad hand holder. Like I've got clammy hands.
I fucked it up last time.
Like he is going to break up with me. Sean, this is so embarrassing.
Oh no.
I tried everything. I was like, okay, maybe like how long will they stay like not clammy if I like put my hands on like an ice pack? Like I was trying all these things before the party, like for like the week before.
Okay.
I realized that I'm doomed. My hands are flooding with sweat at this point. It's all I can think about.
I need to
every
cut them
day.
Off.
So I cut them off. So I literally wore, like, you know when you go to like Walmart and they have those like $1 gloves?
Yeah.
They're like just made of cotton, like those like cheap little gloves. And I wore those little cheap gloves all night. All night long. And I played it off like I thought it was cool. I wore them to the party and there's this picture of me. I'm at this party.
Looking like a mime.
Actually, I gotta show you this picture. Like, actually, I'm in like a t-shirt and then I have fucking gloves.
You're in a t-shirt and you're trapped behind an invisible wall.
I'm like, it's a charades theme. No, I'm literally Mickey Mouse up in that bitch. Like, and everyone, like, there was like probably 5 different times someone said to me, why are you wearing gloves inside? And I was like, it's the thing now. Like, I literally tried to make it the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember saying that I saw a celebrity wearing it, which was obviously a lie, but I don't remember which one I said.
Right.
But I remember saying, like, oh, that's, like, the thing now. Like, that's what you wear.
Oprah's wearing gloves all the time.
All the time.
And she's really rich.
And so then it got more and more stressful throughout the night because people were asking me and then people were making fun of me about the gloves and then telling me to take them off. But at this point, my hands are so damn hot in this person's house.
Even wetter than they've ever been.
Oh, like, I'm surprised that it wasn't pouring out of the bottom of the glove, because it's all I could think about was how hot my hands were underneath and that someone was going to take my glove off and feel my hands.
Ew.
So then I became the topic of the conversation for the entire party about these dumb fucking gloves. And all that was talked about were these gloves. And then this guy that I was dating was like, yeah, I don't really like the gloves.
And you were like, babe, I wore them for you.
All of this for a gloved handhold. Like, all of that.
Also, I feel like at that point, if you had held hands, it would have been a glove and then still wet.
Like, honestly, like, it was so bad, but I was in too deep, so I had to, like, yeah. I had to keep it up.
You have to. You gotta save face at that point.
Honestly, I can't wait to show you this picture. Follow us on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast.
This one we'll actually post, because the amount of times that we say we're gonna post something and then we fall asleep at the wheel.
It's hard being me.
Yeah.
And not remembering anything.
It looks hard being
So, yeah. So, those are mine that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, I have a lot more, but those are, like, the kind of weirder niche ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Physically. This one relates directly to the roast itself.
Okay.
One of the people there, actually the one that made a lot of physical things.
Yeah.
Constantly jokes that I have, like, the biggest nose in the world.
Which you don't, which is so funny.
Which I don't, but growing up, I hated my nose.
Right.
Absolutely hated it. Okay. Mind you, I should also post, remind me when you post your mime photo. I will post a photo of me growing up. It looks like I got a nose job. Like, because of how my face grew, like, my nose.
Your nose stayed the same.
My nose stayed the same, and then my face was like, don't worry, we got it.
Yeah, totally.
But I hated my nose. Mm-hmm. And that was one, somebody did make a comment about it in elementary school.
Oh, okay.
And so it did stick with me. But it was to the point, and this is so sad thinking about, it was to the point that, like, I would look at my nose in the mirror and, like, smile or see my nose in photos and realize that my nose would get bigger naturally when I smiled. So I, in photos, would try not to smile.
Sad.
Or when I was laughing, I would try to, like, keep my face like, you know, like, no face
like
movement.
Jeffree Star
just
style.
Laughter.
I never forget watching this Jeffree Star video back before he was canceled 18 times. And him being like, why I have such great skin is because I don't move my face. And I was like, should I be doing that?
That's what Kim K said, too.
Really?
Yeah. She doesn't smile in photos because she doesn't want lines, which I think is gorgeous. Anyways. So, yeah, it really, like, it's weird that some small thing somebody can say about your nose, like, literally filtered down to how I would think about laughing and smiling for probably years of my life. And then another one was my sister one time made a comment that something about I was just in my, like, lanky phase. Like, she made a comment about my body, like, being in a lanky phase. And then a few other people did. And I would always wear oversized clothes.
No.
Like, if you look at the photos of me in high school, elementary school, was that, like, I felt like I was so skinny, which I so, like, jealous. snatched. I was so thin, just naturally because of my metabolism, that I always wore, like, oversized clothes because I wanted to, like, cover my frame and make me look bigger.
Right.
Which now I just wear oversized clothes because, like, then I can fall asleep in them and I don't care.
Absolutely, yeah. Same.
But yeah, it's really crazy that little things you say. And I hope that I haven't done that to somebody else.
I know.
And I'm such a bitch that I feel like I might have.
I feel like there's definitely, someone listening that's like, you fucking did that to me.
And I think a big chunk of it, especially in elementary school, is that there's so much of that going around.
Yes.
That you have this fucked up mentality in your mind that if I can draw attention to something else on somebody else, people will forget about my nose when I smile for 5 minutes, you know?
I also think that there's another side of it, too, that is, to that person, when they make that one statement, like, for example, that kid when he said something about my tooth, he probably would absolutely not remember ever saying that to me, first.
Yeah.
And second, maybe wasn't even saying it in a bad way. It was just like my memory is that he was saying
it
in a bad
way. He said, what the fuck is wrong with your tooth? And he was six.
He just punched me right in the face. Yeah. And was like, get that fucking tooth out of here. No, and he might have just been like a kid does, being like, oh, your tooth is different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I think it would be absolutely unrealistic to think that there's no point in anyone's life that they've maybe said a sentence to somebody that was perceived as something negative or created an insecurity for them. Because you might have even said something that you didn't even know would have been an insecurity, because for you it's not.
And
then for them it is.
And there's something that you could think of as a positive.
Yeah.
Like somebody could say something about your nose, your eyebrows, or something like that. And they meant it like, oh, like,
yeah,
like your eyebrows or something.
Yeah.
And they could have just phrased it improperly. And now it's a thought of yours.
Yeah. I know.
So would you have any final thoughts on how you survived this?
Honestly, I think that something that's always helped me is, as human beings, we are just naturally like the main character in our own story, right? And we think that everything we say, how we appear, is very apparent to everybody else and that they're constantly thinking about it. When in reality, everyone else is the same as you and thinking about what other people think about them. And a good reminder of this is, it's like when you get ready to go out and you put on this outfit and the next week you're like, well, I can't wear that because I wore that last week. No one remembers what you wore.
Also, both of us wear all black all the time.
Yeah.
One time, sorry, this is such a weird tangent, but it makes me laugh every time I think about it. What was I doing? Oh, it was when I was moving into this apartment and I was like, oh yeah, all of my clothes have just been in boxes. So I've worn the same like 5 outfits for like 2 weeks. And my boss looked at me and was like, oh, you wear all black all the time. I can't really tell if you're wearing the same thing or not. And to me, I was embarrassed that I had been wearing.
You're so embarrassed that you thought you had to say something.
That I had to make a joke about it because I was like, I've worn. And it wasn't even like I was wearing them back to back. I was washing them.
Yeah.
But I was 100%. Like, I've worn the same shirt, you know, twice in this week.
Totally.
And I made a joke about it. And he was like, I don't know who you are.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, how did you get in?
I'm hearing something. But yeah, it is true. Like, I mean, I think that there is something to be said with, yes, there are certain things that like people are going to call you out on or like be thinking about, and like I want to validate that because like the world is hard and people judge people for different things, especially like, you know, body issues and all that kind of stuff. But that said, like, I think that we do as human beings like boost it in our mind to be more extreme, because like I've never been to a pool and been thinking about,
oh, I was like, is that the end of it?
I've never been to a pool, so whatever.
So
no, I've never been to a pool and like been like looking at everyone and deciding whether or not I like their body.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at the pool thinking about my own damn body.
Trying not to
drown. Thinking about my own damn body and worried about my own body being perceived.
Yeah.
And if I meet someone, I'm just talking to them and I like them. Like, I can't remember what their body looked like.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I think that that's something that helps me when I get all worked up about certain things. And also just that, like, everyone has a different lens of every different person. So when you hear something from one person, like the tooth thing or one of those one sentence wonders that sticks with you, like, just because that's what that person noticed about you, other people notice completely different things.
Yeah. And also the things that you framed as negatives in your mind are positives to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Which was a wild thing for me to think of.
Yes, true. All right, well, wherever you're listening, make sure you're followed or subscribed, and also make sure to leave us a review, 5 stars only.
Please, I don't need an insecurity about that.
And if you write a review too, we love reading them and we really appreciate it and it helps us out big time. And follow us on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast, at Brianne Williamson, and at Sean.Lusk. And until next time, we will
see you around the Gaberhead.
Merch coming soon.
My hands are clammy.
Oh, it's me too. Just talk.